Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome to Ummah Radio. You are listening to the Hadith class with myself, Abu Mus'ab. Now as you know, we have been doing the kitab known as Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah, better known as Ash-Shama'il al-Tirmidhi, written by Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. We have done a number of lessons so far. We completed 22 ahadith in total from this particular print that we are doing. Like I mentioned in the past, the particular print that we are doing, you can download via Ummah Forum. If you look in the Ummah Radio section of the forum, there will be a thread called Monday Aqidah Hadith Class. In there, you will find a link to download the Kitab Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah. And in that particular print, you can follow up the lessons as we do it. We are currently on page number 20. We had just previously completed the chapter regarding the Khatamun Nubuwa, the seal of prophethood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we will now be starting the third chapter, which deals with the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So once again, if you have any questions regarding anything of the lesson or anything for that matter, you can send in your questions via Skype, the Skype name being Ummah Radio. Alright then, like I said, we are starting on page number 20 of this particular print, chapter number 3, Babu ma ja'a fi sha'ri Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we can start from here. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. He continues on with the third chapter. He says, Babu ma ja'a fi sha'ri Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa fihi thamaniyatu ahaditha. The chapter regarding the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those ahadith which have come in this regard, and in this chapter there are 8 ahadith. So the first hadith, he says, حدثنا علي بن حجر أخبرنا إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم عن حميد عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال كان الشعر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى نصف أذنيه. This hadith is reported by Ali ibn Hujr, who reports it from Ismail ibn Ibrahim, who reports it from Humaid, who reports it from Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, who said that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was until the middle of his ears. Now as we mentioned in one of the previous, or rather I should say the very early lessons, when we did the physical description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we did in there that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's hair was normally of one of three lengths. Either middle, as you can say, by on the ear, middle of the ear, by reaching the earlobes. The second one is past the earlobes, and the third one was until the shoulders. Now the ulama explain it is obviously hair is something which grows, so there will be a time when your hair is, if you cut your hair short. Now what the ulama say is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to remain within these lengths, cut it until the earlobes, and then it would grow until the shoulders, and then cut it again, like in that manner. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hair used to be short, it would be until his earlobes, and when it was long, it was until his shoulders. Now, obviously not less than, as you can say, half of the ears. This is a modern trend, this cutting hair very short, as is common around the world today. But none of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum or anyone of the Muslims for that matter had ever had short hair in the beginning stages. Short hair actually came about from the West, which only entered the Muslim lands during the time of when the Muslims were ruling Andalus, Islamic Spain. One person had gone across to the Western countries and had come back saying that this is what the kuffar are busy doing, it's like the latest fashion and things, and then slowly this short hair infiltrated the Muslim lands, and only from that time onwards did Muslims start having short hair. Now a question somebody tend to pose, people tend to quote, they say that why is it then that Hazrat Ali radiyallahu anhu had short hair? The reality, the truth is actually that he did not have short hair, but rather that he had cut all his hair off. in one narration, it's mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Tahta kulli sha'ratin janaba," that under every single strand of hair there is janaba. Meaning that if you are a person in a state of major impurity and you need to perform a ghusl, then each and every single strand of hair has to be washed. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was a person of a lot of hair, so he was afraid that he would not be able to do justice and they would pass by him some hairs which are unwashed and which would therefore make his ghusl incomplete. So for this reason, he would shave his hair so that, as you can say, shave all his hair off so that when he washes his hair and making ghusl, obviously, then he don't have to worry about there being hair that is missed from washing. So this is what has been mentioned in the narrations, the reason behind why Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu had short hair. But other than that, we see amongst the other Sahaba radiallahu anhu that they had long hair. We did previously the narration, and we'll probably come across more at a later stage in time. For now, we are still dealing with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so we'll skip the lesson to that itself. Any case, so what I was saying is that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam ranged between these three lengths, and these three lengths are termed as Wafra, Lima, and Jumma. Now, just one thing which I mentioned last time and I mentioned again, the word is Jumma, and Friday in Arabic is Jumu'ah. Two different words. One is Jummah, this is a hair length, and Jumu'ah, this is Friday in Arabic. So it's not, Friday is not Jummah, although people use the term like that, but Jummah is actually a length of hair, while Jumu'ah with an ayn, this is the day of Friday. Any case, coming back to the lesson, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu had said that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was until the middle of his ears. Now, you'll find the various ahadith, different sahaba saying different length and things. The reason for this, like I mentioned, hair is something which grows. So, one sahabi came today and saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's hair at this length. Then, perhaps, it just so happened that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had cut his hair just say like yesterday. Now another sahabi comes along and he meets Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in 3 weeks time. By that time, the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already had 3 weeks to grow, so it was past that section of the ear, and then it was, as you can say, past the earlobe. So then therefore he would narrate and say that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was until this and this length. Then you find another sahabi who comes at another time and he sees maybe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam 2 months later, and then the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is until the shoulders. So there's no contradiction that why is the one saying this and another one saying that. It's just simply that they saw and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had at different times, and so they were narrating according to each time that they had seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in any case, in this particular hadith, the first hadith here, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, he said that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was on this occasion until the half of his ears. We'll move on to the second hadith. He says, حَدَّثَنَا حَنَّادُ بْنُ السَّرِي أَخْبَرَنَا عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنُ بْنِ أَبِي الزِّنَادِ عَنْ هِشَامِ بْنِ عُرْوَةَ عَنْ أَبِيهِ عَنْ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ كنت أغتسل أنا ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من إناء واحد وكان له شعر فوق الجمة ودون الوفرة. This hadith is reported by Hannad ibn Sari, who reports it from Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Zinad, who reports it from Hisham ibn Urwa, who reports it from his father, who his father is Hazrat Urwa ibn Zubair, who in turn reports it from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. She said that I and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to take ghusl from one container. And he used to have hair, that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was longer than his, it passed his ear lobes, but it was above his shoulders. So, as you can see here, the first hadith had said it was till the half of the ears of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, while this next one says that it was past the earlobes, but just above the shoulders. So, like I said, different Sahaba narrating from different times, so obviously the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam grows, and so therefore it was different lengths accordingly. Now, I mentioned previously in the past that the ulama differ on to which length is wafra, which length is jumma, which length is limma. In this particular hadith here, jumma is the till the earlobes and wafra is the shoulders. So therefore, in this hadith, it's basically saying that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was limma, which was between the shoulders and the ears. Other ulama are different and they say wafra is till the earlobes and jumma is till the shoulders and limma is in between. But like I say, the ulama differ on that point. One more point mentioned in this hadith here is she said, I and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to take a ghusl from the same container. Now, on this point here, there's a lot of kalam, there's a lot that can be said, there's a lot that you will find in the books of fiqh on this point in particular. There, for example, a man uses water. Now there's the leftover water which he, from he, him. Now a woman comes along and she uses that water. Can she use that water? Yes or no? Or a woman baths and then a man comes along. Can he use her leftover water? That's another issue. Another issue is, there's one bucket and you scoop out some and then I scoop out some. The husband scoop out and the wife scoop out. So these are different issues there. And therefore I say that you'll find a lot of kalam, lot of that the ulama have spoken on this particular hadith in particular, because the ulama differ on whether a man can use the leftover water of as you can say, the men using leftover water of women, and as you can say, the other way around. Although when it comes to the hair of as you can say, the husband and wife, then it's a bit of a different story. Any case, when it comes to the, make it a bit more simpler, that if the husband and the wife is both one scoop, the next one scoop, they're both bathing at the same time, so they are both using this water at the same time. There's no stage in time where the water stands and becomes the leftover water of one particular party. So then in this case, the ulama are unanimous that yes, you can, the water would be permissible, that you can use it. Now, what the ulama differ on is where, if the wife or the woman, she uses the water, okay, in particular the wife, let's say, yeah, you're not going to be using some other woman's water, so a woman, your wife, she is bathing here from a bucket, and then now she leaves some water left over. Now you, the husband, come along and you want to bath. Now according to the Hanafi madhab and the Shafi'i madhab, and I think the Maliki madhab as well, the water is permissible, you can bath with it. The one view within the Hanbali madhab, I do not know if this is definitely the fatwa of the madhab or not, but I know one view within the Hanbali madhab is that the husband cannot use the leftover water of his wife. So this is where, that's why I say you'll find a lot of discussion on this hadith in particular in the books of fiqh, because it's not just cut and dried, it's just put out there. There's a lot that can be said and derived from every word that comes in every particular hadith. But today people run wild, they read some English translation and they start making up their own commentaries and interpretations and everything of the sort. In particular, when it comes to this hadith, we know there's another hadith wherein Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said that she never saw the private parts of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the other way around as well. Now, some people, like I say, they read the English translation, and in the English translation, this hadith is, I and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to bath, and somehow the translation changed from one container, it changed into in one container. Somehow the translation changed to that. So therefore, people start making their own interpretations and stuff up. But like I say, These are all just the personal interpretations and opinions of people, which has no bearing on the Sharia. The reality is, like Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha had said, that neither she nor Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had seen the private parts of one another. Although it is permissible, that is not an issue. But we're just talking in particular with the hadith itself. So anyway, so this was the first part of the hadith, that she and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had both bathed from one container. Another hadith explains how this took place, is that there was a curtain in between, and as you can say, there's one big bucket, and let's put it in our terms, and each one is standing with a jug on either side of the curtain, but obviously both can reach the bucket. I'm putting it in our terminologies to make it easier for us to understand. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam took the would scoop and use for himself, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha would take from that side for her. And then she mentions in the hadith that that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did take a ghusl faster than her. So she still said, "Leave water for me, leave water for me." So we can understand from this hadith here, put this hadith that we just did in a bit more of its context as to how it actually took place. Any case, the hadith had continued on to with regards to the actual reason it came in this chapter, was to say that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at this length, which was beyond the earlobes but above the shoulders. So that's the second hadith. We'll move on to the third hadith. He says, حدثنا أحمد بن منيع حدثنا أبو قطن حدثنا شعبة عن أبي إسحاق عن البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مربوعا بعيد ما بين المنكبين وكانت جمته تضرب شحمة أذنيه. This hadith is reported by Ahmad ibn Mani', who reports it from Abu Qatan, who reports it from Shu'ba, who reports it from Abu Ishaq, who in turn reports it from Hazrat Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu, who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was marbu'. Now this hadith is very similar to the very first hadith that we had done right in the beginning. And this term marbu had passed by before in the past, which means of an average height. And for those of you who are new, you can refer to the older lessons, which you can find on YouTube. The YouTube channel, okay, it's got some long, strange, weird name there, so I can't tell you to search for, it's not Ummah Radio. But if you go to YouTube, you can search Ash-Shama'ilul Muhammadiyya and with the Ummah Radio as well, and you will find the previous lessons over there. So you can then listen to them, and it will put the things more in context. So in any case, that's the hadith of marbu'an, meaning of an average height. And like I explained previously, average height means slightly above average, but not so exceptionally tall that a person, or rather not noticeably tall. Because a person may be tall, but then you have people that stick out, as they say, stick out like a sore thumb, because you're a little bit too tall. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was tall, but not too tall. So that's with regards to that. Any case, moving on with the hadith, he then says, "بُعِيدُ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَنْكِبَيْنِ." And like I said previously, this part is also said, "بَعِيدُ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَنْكِبَيْنِ." But both meanings are just about, so to say, the same, which means that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was broad-shouldered. And then this is the actual reason, the next part. He says, وَكَانَ جُمَّتُهُ تَضْرِبُ شَحْمَةَ أُذُنَيْهِ. He says that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was on this length of Jummah. And Jummah is what? تَضْرِبُ شَحْمَةَ أُذُنَيْهِ. The hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had reached his earlobes. شَحْمَةَ أُذُنَيْهِ literally means the earlobes. So his hair had reached his earlobes. This is what this hadith say. So as you can see, one mentioned half the ear, one mentioned beyond the earlobe, this one says until the earlobe. Yes, you'll find all the different hadith saying the various lengths. And like I explained previously, there is a there's no contradiction between any of these hadith. Okay, question came in. A question asks, can the husband and wife do ghusl in the same tub together? Okay, you see, when it comes, this question is actually twofold. Number one is the issue of bathing in a bath. You see, if you attended the Tuesday night lessons, which is the Hanafi fiqh classes, in there we did something which was known as ma'ul musta'mal, which translates into English as used water. Now what happens is used water, when you pour water and it falls off your limb, it automatically becomes used water. Now, if you are in a bath, then that water, obviously your whole body is submerged in the water, then that water all become ma'ul musta'mal, used water. Now, obviously, if your wife gets into that water, then obviously it's now ma'ul musta'mal, she can't make wudu in that water even, what still make ghusl. So I suppose you can say if bathing, if you just want to go and get wet, then yes, getting in a bath would suffice for that, but you would not be able to perform ghusl or wudu or anything for that matter, because the water is now termed as ma'ul musta'mal, used water. So that's with regards to in the bath. Then comes, so that's with regards to bathing in a bath. Then comes the issue of, as you can say, husband and wife bathing together. More, as you can say, more general, unrestricted. And when it comes to this, then yes, it is permissible for the husband and wife to bath together. Obviously, ulama always advise people is that even though you are husband and wife and everything, there is still modesty that doesn't go out the window. So even though you are married, even though you are husband and wife, even though these things are permissible, but stick to modesty as well. There are various ahadith on the similar topic going around, like as you can say, like a donkey unclothed. So those things are in its place. You still remain with your modesty, but yes, as a general ruling, it would be permissible for a husband and wife to bath together. Wallahu a'lam. Any case, continuing on, the next hadith will now be hadith number 4. He says, حدثنا محمد بن بشار حدثنا وهب بن جرير بن حازم قال حدثني أبي عن قتادة قال قلت لأنس كيف كان شعر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لم يكن بالجعد ولا بالسبط كان يبلغ شعره شحمة أذنيه. This hadith is reported by Muhammad ibn Bashar, who reports it from Wahb ibn Jarir ibn Hazim, who reports it from his father, from Qatada, who said that I asked Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, that how was the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He replied, he said, لم يكن بالجعد ولا بالسبط, that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was neither curly nor was it lank, meaning it wasn't exceptionally straight nor was it curly, meaning it, as I explained in the previous lesson, is that it was straight with a bit of a wave in it, not of the either two extremes, but rather, as you can say, in between. And then he says, كَانَ يَبْلُغُ شَعْرَهُ شَحْمَةَ أُذُنَيْهِ. In this hadith, Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu, he says that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had reached his earlobes. That's the end of that hadith. Moving on to the next hadith, he says, حدثنا محمد بن يحيى بن أبي عمرة حدثنا سفيان بن عيينة عن ابن أبي نجيح عن مجاهد عن أم هاني بنت أبي طالب رضي الله عنها قالت قدم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مكة قدمة وله أربع غدائر. Muhammad ibn Yahya ibn Abi Umar narrates from Sufyan ibn Uyayna. This is the great Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, regarding who the ulama they differ. There's a hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that soon the people will beat the livers of their camels, meaning they will travel and they will not find a person more knowledgeable than the alim of Medina. It's a bit of a lengthy hadith. I'm just cutting out to the point itself. And the ulama differ. They actually have only two opinions as to who is this person meant in the hadith. One view is that it is Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, and the other view is that it is Imam Malik ibn Anas rahimahumallah. And basically more are of the opinion that it refers to Imam Malik rahimahullah, although other ulama had said it refers to Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna. So that alone can tell you what a great knowledgeable Imam he was. Any case, he reports it from Ibn Abi Najih, who reports it from Mujahid, who reports it from Ummi Hani, who is the daughter of Abi Talib, who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come to Mecca one time, and at this time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had four ghadair. Okay, before coming to the word ghadair, the ulama say that most likely this took place at the conquest of Mecca. That when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam conquered Mecca, then the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like this in four ghadair. Now ghadair is the plural of ghadira, and another hadith mentions dhafair, the plural being the singular being dhafira. Now ghadair and dhafair, what it means is, as you can say, locks or braids. Now there's one point here. For those ulama who translate it as braids, they say that it refers obviously to such braids which in no way resembles the braids of women. So it's not, as you can say, like a woman plaits her hair, so you looking in that same manner. Not like that. They say if there's any resemblance to women, then that type would not be permissible. Other ulama, they say that no, it wasn't, as you can say, braided, but rather it was locks of hair. If you were to think just for a moment, if you have, obviously you have your hair standing on the two sides, and then if it's just another two basically in between, then you're sitting with four locks of hair. So they say that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was basically long and thick at this particular time, and therefore it turned on its own naturally into four locks. Not, as you can say, went and braided your hair into locks, into plaits, plaited your hair like this. So there's a bit of difference of opinion amongst the ulama on that point, but all are unanimous that it is such, for those who accept the meaning of braiding, they say it is such braiding which does not resemble that of women whatsoever. So that's just one thing which should be made clear. So it doesn't mean that it may be fashionable to have it look like a woman. It would be completely impermissible to do it in that manner. Okay, moving on to the next hadith. He says, حدثنا سويد بن نصر حدثنا عبد الله بن المبارك عن معمر عن ثابت البناني عن أنس رضي الله عنه أن شعر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إلى أنصاف أذنيه. This hadith is reported by Suwayd ibn Nasr, who reports it from the great Imam Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak rahimahullah. Such an Imam who needs no introduction. Imam Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, he needs no introduction. If you don't know him, you can Google him, you can read the life of Imam Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, and you'll have sufficient reading for a while on his life. He in turn reports it from Ma'mar, who in turn reports it from Thabit al-Bunani, who in turn reports it from Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu, who said that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was until the half of his ears. Now this again is quite similar, basically the same as this first hadith which we had done in this particular chapter over here. That one just said nisf, and this one said ansaf, both from the same plural, same root word, which means the half of the ear. So we'll move on without delaying on that hadith. We'll move on to the next one. He says, حدثنا سويد بن نصر حدثنا عبد الله بن المبارك عن يونس بن يزيد عن الزهري حدثنا عبيد الله بن عبد الله بن عتبة عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يستل شعره. Okay, I'll first read and then we can move on. He says, this hadith is reported by Suwayd ibn Nasr, who reported from Imam Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak as well, from Yunus ibn Yazid, from Az-Zuhri, who reported from Ubaidullah ibn Abdullah ibn Utba, who reported from Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma, who said that that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to leave his hair in a natural manner. وَكَانَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ يَفْرَقُونَ رُؤُوسَهُمْ. While the mushrikeen, the mushrikeen of Mecca, they used to part their hair. يَفْرِقُونَ رُؤُوسَهُمْ. They used to part their hair. وَكَانَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ يُسْتِلُونَ رُؤُوسَهُمْ. While the Ahlul Kitab, the Jews and the Christians, they would leave their hair naturally without parting it. وكان يحب موافقة أهل الكتاب فيما لم يؤمر فيه بشيء. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like to be in accordance to the Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book, regarding those things where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not receive any revelation regarding it. ثم فرق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأسه. Then later on, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started parting his hair. Now, two points. Number one, this was in early Islam. In early Islam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam lived in Mecca, then there was a choice, obviously, mushrikeen or Ahlul Kitab. So obviously, Ahlul Kitab are less, as you can say, less on the scale of kufr than the mushrikeen. Because the Ahlul Kitab, Jews and Christians, in that context rather, not the context of Christians today who don't believe in anything but Santa. So anyway, The Ahlul Kitab, they actually had received a divine book from Allah. So therefore, you can't compare them with mushrikeen. That is why the Sharia has given certain rules with regards to Ahlul Kitab, which does not apply to mushrikeen. So, the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like to rather resemble them was because they were closer to Islam than the mushrikeen. But, like I say, this was early Islam. Then later on, all of this resembling of the Ahlul Kitab and all these things were abrogated. So therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would not resemble them or follow them or do anything in accordance with the Ahlul Kitab anymore thereafter. So that's why just earlier on the forum I had quoted for Brother Tahir when he made his thread with regards to hadith memorization, I made one point there that if you are memorizing a particular hadith, it's one hadith taken in isolation. Don't try to think you are now some sort of scholar just because you read one hadith and then you start thinking you know what you're talking about and you start giving fatwa left, right and center. A person would read the hadith like this and come out and say, hey, what's wrong if I resemble the Christians and Jews because yeah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do it. That's what I say. Taking things entirely out of context, in isolation, you don't know where this fit in. The reality is that this is speaking about old stuff which were abrogated, so obviously it's no longer permissible even to resemble or imitate the Jews and the Christians. So any case, putting all that aside, we continue on here, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like to do stuff in accordance to the Jews and the Christians in early Islam until Allah had abrogated all of these things, and then therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do nothing in accordance with them. And then he says, ثُمَّ فَرَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَأَسَهُ. Then later on, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم started parting his hair. Now, with regards to this, the ulama have got varying and different interpretations for how this took place. Some ulama say, and all of this is basically, as you can say, based on the ijtihad of the ulama on the hadith. So some say it refers to the forelock. We know in the one hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to part his forelock on his forehead, rather in this manner. So therefore, some ulama say that this is what is being referred to in the hadith, that parting it in this manner. So the forelock is on the forehead, but it's, as you can say, it's parted in two. So some ulama are of that opinion. Other ulama say it's not the forelock, but rather it's the hair at the back of the head. If you look at the previous hadith which I mentioned, lahu arba'u ghada'ira, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered Makkah while having four locks or braids, however the ulama interpret it. And those who say that it was locks, they say it was obviously at the back of the head. That's the only place you have locks or braids in any case. So they say that this is the meaning of that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would part his hair in this manner. So the ulama, they differ on how exactly this parting took place. Any case, that's the end of that hadith. And now we move on to the last and final hadith in this chapter. He says, حدثنا محمد بن بشار حدثنا عبد الرحمن بن مهدي عن إبراهيم بن نافع المكي عن ابن أبي نجيح عن مجاهد عن أم هاني قالت رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذا ضفائر أربعة. محمد بن بشار narrates from عبد الرحمن بن مهدي, again another very famous person in the field of hadith, who reports it from Ibrahim ibn Nafi' al-Makki, who reports it from Ibn Abi Najih, who reports it from Mujahid, who reports it again from Hani binti Abi Talib, who said that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam having four braids or locks of hair. This is the same basically as the previous hadith, just again, like I say, the ulama are of the opinion that this took place on the conquest, the Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah is when this particular incident had taken place. That is the 8th hadith and the last in this particular chapter with regards to the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that is the end of this chapter, and next time inshallah we will continue on, which will be the next chapter on the combing of the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we will end here for now. This is on page 23, like I say, of this particular print that we are doing. We had completed hadith number 30, and next time we will start chapter 4, which, like I say, is the chapter regarding to the combing of the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So until then, we will end here and we say, وَصَلَّى وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.